the scriptures up on the PowerPoint, but also want you to bring the word with you. And I know a lot of us today also use the cell phones. You have the Bible app on your cell phone. I still like carrying my old-fashioned Bible around. I'm kind of old school, but you can do it either way. Click to it or turn to it. And we're going to talk about, you know, I was thinking about God. It's my birthday today, and I'm excited about preaching and teaching your word. And one of the subjects in the Bible, I love teaching everything from the Word of God, but one of the subjects that I love to teach on is about God's favor. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And just going to give you five things on how to walk or how to receive God's favor and how to walk in it in your life. But the first thing that I want to share with you, and I thought this was really good, I heard from another pastor. He said, favor has been called God's cologne or perfume. So look at somebody and say, you smell good this morning. And it makes us attractive to people in the world, and it makes good things happen for us. So favor is like God's cologne or perfume being on you. And look at somebody and say, you're chosen. You're chosen. This is 1 Peter 2, verse 9, out of the Message Bible. If you wanted a good reading Bible, I encourage you to get the Message Bible. It's a good reading Bible and help you understand the word. But it says in the Message, it says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Everybody has a ministry. Look at somebody and say, you have a ministry. Everybody is called in the ministry, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. And you're chosen by God. You have a ministry. Every one of us in here have a ministry. You're going to reach people that I'll never reach. But how you're going to do that is with the favor of God being upon you. And now we're going to get to Proverbs 3, and then we're going to break this down today. And I want to show you this, and I'm going to show you this out of the New Living Translation, Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. You're going to have a good life. And verse 3 says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. So that's what we're going to learn from today, from those scriptures, Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to look at how to position yourself to receive and walk in God's favor. I'm going to give you five things. Everybody ready for it? All right, here's number one, pray. And everybody go, and I know everybody looks at me like, dirty dur. But you know what, guys, I'm telling you, and even myself, I do this, I'm guilty of this myself, is instead of prayer being the first thing, prayer is the last thing that we think about doing. Well, if I can't make it happen, if I can't do this, if I can't do that, then I will pray. No, we need to pray first, not last. And a lot of times we do it last. I've been guilty of it. So make it first, not last. And if you're here today and you're married and you have a spouse, pray with your spouse. Pray with your spouse. Thank you, Carrie. I got one amen out of that. Pray with your spouse. And Jay's like, amen to me too. Jada and I, we pray together. And it's amazing to me how I'm telling you this, guys, not to put any, but I mean, everybody can pray. You don't have to be an eloquent prayer. You just got to pray. Prayer is just talking with God. That's all that it is. That's all that prayer is, guys, is just talking to him. He wants to commune with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you. And that's all that it is. Don't make a rocket science out of it, because it's not. It's not. You don't. And some people are like, well, I don't know the word enough to pray. No, you don't have to know the word. You just got to know Jesus and talk to him and just let him know your heart. I love what Pastor Robert said last week on the video that we watched. It's when people ask, you know, what do you pray? You pray with whatever's on your heart, because that's what you need to, that burden to be lifted. And the other day, and I'm going to tell off on myself because I'm always transparent with you. Over the past few weeks, I just got caught up in a frenzy in my thought life, thinking about different things, you know, financial things, you know, just job-related things, all kinds of stuff, just like y'all do. We all do it. I got caught up in my mind, and I got into a frenzy. How many of you ever got into a frenzy in your thought life? I mean, people can't see it on you, but in your thought life, you feel like the little squirrel and little hamster in the deal just going like that. And I didn't know it, but in what was going on inside of me, in my mind and my will and my emotions, I was all this frenzied and hurried and everything. I started getting short with my wife, and I was just kind of snappy. I wasn't mean or anything like that, but just kind of on edge. And yeah, Jay's like, yes, you were. Just snappy and different things like that. And Jada, finally one day, she looked at me, she goes, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine. And so anyway, the next morning she got up and she said, before you leave today, we're praying together. And we pray together at night and different things and different times during the day when we get texts or phone calls from some of y'all or different people, and we'll pray right there on the spot together or when we're riding in the vehicle. But she said, today we're going to pray in the morning and before you leave. And I said, okay. And so we prayed. And I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't want to pray. I was like, my day's too busy. I don't have time to pray. I need to be out that door and going about business. But my wife is right, and you heard it come out of my mouth today. She is right. I'm wrong. And so we got together, and we grabbed hands, and we prayed, and we just prayed what was on our hearts concerning just lots of different things that were going on. And I went into my day, and I'm going to tell you something. Prayer works, but I'm going to tell you, the things that we prayed about that day, nothing changed. Now, I'm going to say that they are changing. I believe that by faith. But that particular day, nothing changed, but what changed was me. And what changed was my heart and the frenziness that I had going on in my mind. And I was more at peace and more calm, and the day just fell in place and everything just happened like it was supposed to. But none of the things that we prayed about, there wasn't no ginormous thing that changed, but my heart did. And guys, that's what prayer does. And prayer changes you. Look at somebody and say, you need to pray. that's what prayer does. And I know that we say it a lot in church, but a lot of times we make it the last thing that we do instead of the first thing. And I was looking in the Word of God, and I found that there's a story about Daniel, and Daniel in the Old Testament. And Daniel, it says in chapter 6, verse 3, talks about Daniel out of the Message Bible. It says, but Daniel, brimming with spirit and intelligence. I mean, this guy was brimming with it. So completely outclassed the other vice regents and governors that the king decided to put him in charge of the whole kingdom. And as I've studied the life of Daniel, and I'm like, okay, what made Daniel a man that was brimming with spirit and intelligence? And there's only one thing that I have found about him that I can focus on from God's word. It was that he was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. That's what set him apart from everybody else. He was brimming with intelligence and spirit. And in verse 10 out of the NIV, some of you know Daniel's story. Daniel's story was this, I'll just kind of paraphrase it, is he was outclassing everybody, just like the word says, outclassing everybody around him, just because he was a man of prayer. He was just like them, but he was a man of prayer. And he was brimming with spirit and intelligence. And so these guys got together and like, we gotta cause this Daniel some problems. We need to figure out what we need to do. And he's like, the only thing that we can attack is we can go after his prayer life because we know he's a man of prayer. And so they got together and they said, you know what? If you don't pray to anybody but the king, you're gonna be thrown into the lion's den. And so in Daniel 6, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published about you couldn't pray to anybody but the king, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He was a man of prayer. Some of you remember this story from Sunday school. But what happened was he was thrown into the lion's den and God shut the lion's mouth. And he wasn't even harmed. Now, here's what I want to tell you about prayer. And this is what the Lord spoke to me through Daniel. If you want the lion's mouth shut in your life, and I'm talking about not the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus, but I'm talking about the lion that's here on this planet, the lion, the enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer. If you want his mouth shut in your life, then you need to be a person of prayer. Yeah. You need to be a person of prayer, and you can shut it off. We prayed up here this morning. to shut off the enemy's attack from somebody's life. And I believe by prayer that that has happened. It's been shut off in Jesus' name. Here's number two. Number two is read and meditate on God's word. And I know you've heard me say this a lot. You've heard me talk about prayer. You've heard me talk about reading and meditating on God's word. And this is Romans 10, verse 17. I cannot say this enough. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want your, every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a measure of faith. You have the measure of faith. But what faith is like a muscle. You can help it grow by getting into the word of God. And we have devotionals back here, and Betty's got them ready to hand out to you after church. If you haven't got the newest, latest one, we have some old ones too. Take them home, get in. It's a little paragraph that helps you to get in the word every day. And I've heard lots of great feedback from people that are doing that. I've even seen some of you posted on social media, which is awesome. They're awesome. That's an awesome little tool for you to help you get into the word of God. That's why I send out a scripture every morning on Harvest Time Club, and you can join that by texting the word harvest to 68683, and you can sign up for that way, and you just, you'll receive a text back and just reply with a Y, and you're signed up to get a scripture from me every morning at 7 a.m. And I know a lot of you, I think we have 280 people, 280 phones that are on that Harvest Time Club. And faith, guys, comes, you got to hear it and hear it and hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing God's word. Look at somebody and say, did you hear it? You got to hear the word of God. And so I encourage us, not just on Sunday, get in the word of God, read it, download some good podcasts. Our podcast is on hfchurch.com, where you can listen to the messages from that Sunday in case you have to miss, because I understand some of you have to work and different things like that. I know that the oil field around here doesn't sleep, and so that's a good way for you to stay plugged in. And so those two things that I just shared with you, pray, read, and meditate on God's word, those have to do with your relationship with the Lord. And those are the two things that you can do, the two biggest things you can do. Yes, being in church is part of it too. Fellowshipping with other believers, that's what church is all about. And then here's number three. Then we're going to take a turn here, because it also has to do with walking in God's favor. It's God and people. Amen? Look at somebody and say, it's God and people. I like for you to interact with me and make sure the person next to you is not sleeping. Number three is treat people the way you want to be treated. And everybody said amen. Can you imagine what this earth would be like if everybody did that? If we all treated each other the way that we would want to be treated? It'd be a great planet to live on. Proverbs 3, what we just read, the last two verses, says, never let loyalty and kindness, everybody say loyalty, say kindness, leave you. I'm telling you, those are two dying virtues in this planet right now, on this planet. Loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Wow, that scripture has got a lot of good stuff in it, guys. Loyalty and kindness is a big thing. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Now here's Colossians 3. It goes right along with this. Verses 12 and 13 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then here's this 13th verse. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Wow. Have you made allowance for somebody else's faults? With your spouse, do you make allowance for their faults? Or do you hold it over their head?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to get on my soapbox for here just a second, okay? Because there's nothing, and Jada knows this about me, is because she's my wife, but there's nothing that offends me, nothing that makes my blood start boiling, nothing that rises my blood pressure more than whenever I encounter a religious spirit. It just sends me over the edge. And when I studied scripture about Jesus, that was the one thing that sent him over the edge, was people that walked in that religious spirit. And I had a person, and I'm going to, nobody's here today, because I know when the pastor talks in a small town, everybody's trying to figure out who he's talking about, okay? They're not here. They don't go to church here. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm wanting to share this story because it happens everywhere. And I've had to encounter this more than one time, being a pastor and being a Christian. It's not just being a pastor. But I had somebody tell me, and they said, Mark, I overheard somebody talking about somebody in your church, and they were talking, you know, negatively about different things that they do. So that's why they don't go to church at your church. I'm like, number one, that's not the reason why you go to church or not go to church. You go to church because you want to worship the Lord. And you need to find out, and here's what else I've learned being a pastor now for 22 years. When I first started in the ministry, I wanted everybody to come to my church. And now I've learned I don't want everybody to come to my church. And when I say that, and I mean that with all the love and sincerity, I want people to come to this church that God has said, that's the church that you're supposed to go to. That's where I want you to come to worship me at. That's where I want you to come and serve. That's where I want you to go and get hooked up and use your time, your talents, and your treasures to serve in that church. That's how I've prayed. God, send me the ones that you're calling to come to this church. Everybody said amen. And I believe that every one of you here today, that's the reason why you're here. And that's the reason why you should be here. And we're all here to worship the Lord. And so I was telling this person, first of all, that's the reason why they don't go to church or not go to church, because a certain person or a certain family does go to church there and doesn't go to church there. That's not why you go. You go because God led you to that church. And then she started telling me about what they were saying and all that. And I was privy to some things about this person that they were talking to, because, you know, we live in a small town and I'm a pastor and word gets around. And I said, well, you know what? And this is what I told this person. And, I said, that's the pot calling the kettle black. And she said, what? And I said, the criticisms a person is aiming at, listen to this, the criticisms a person is aiming at, someone else could equally well apply to themselves. That's what calling the pot calling the kettle black means. That's what it means. And I had to tell this person, and it was revelation to help this person out. It really was. And I said, all this in love and grace and kindness, I said, you know what? I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. And here's the other thing. We're all hypocrites. And we can. Here's the choice. You either go to heaven with them or you go to hell with them. But we're all hypocrites. And I did. I wish I had that. That was my original. That was from another pastor that was from Texas. And I have a cousin of mine that was down in that area in Texas. And this pastor was starting a church down there. This has been years ago. And he's a country western singer, great, great pastor. And he was his cousin. He went out and rode horses with my cousin one day on his place. And so the pastor asked him, won't you come to my church? You know, we'd love to have you come and worship the Lord with us. And he said, you know, I don't go to church because it's just full of hypocrites. And this pastor immediately, words of wisdom from this pastor, and he said, well, do you want to go to heaven with him or do you want to go to hell with him? Because we're all hypocrites. And my cousin, to this day, he always shares that story. He said, that's what got me back into church. Because I had to realize that pastor's telling the truth. And he said, I was just letting things keep me away from worshiping God that shouldn't let keep me away. Don't let that stuff keep you away. Guys, we all have faults. I have faults. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm going to mess up. I'm not going to call you one time. Or I'm not going to text you. Or I'm not going to come visit you when you have a hangnail and it's going to offend you. I apologize. I apologize right now because I didn't know that you had a hangnail. And Kent's over there looking at his nails right now. I saw that, Kent. Oh, God, there's always one in the crowd to put the pastor on the spot. But, guys, I love you. But we can't walk in offense, guys, because that is the scheme and strategy of the enemy to keep everybody at odds with one another. And we got to make allowance for each other's faults. I make allowance for yours. Please make allowance for mine because I'm going to screw up. And forgive me whenever I offend you because I didn't mean to. I've learned that about 99% of offenses are not intentional. And the enemy likes to play up here, and it's the imaginary stuff that he starts telling you up here. Well, they didn't look at you. They didn't shake your hand. They didn't tell you you preached a good sermon today, so they hate your guts. No, I just didn't get to see them before they left. You know, that's how the enemy gets in there. It happens to me too. It happens to me too. And, you know, I always tell my mom, she's watching, hi, Mom, she's watching by Church's Aid, is if I don't hear from Mom, then I'm offended. That's when I can get offended, because my mom texts me every day that that was a good sermon, you know, or something like that. So I appreciate that. She makes up for the ones that don't. I'm just kidding. All right, so God, does everybody understand that? Let's not be the pot calling the kettle black, because we all have issues. And everybody said, amen. We've all got them. And we need to have that allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. And whenever, and I'm telling off of myself, there's times I'll get over into that little self-righteousness, and God will have to reel me back in from that, because, guys, that's a religious spirit. And that's not walking in the love of God at all. And so don't go there. And I promise you, when you don't go there, you're going to walk in the favor of God. God's favor will be upon you with him and with people. Okay, here's number four. Goes right along with this. Clothe yourself with love. We got to do that. You got to walk in love. The Bible says that faith works by love. And that's Galatians 5, verse 6. And so Colossians 3, verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony or perfect unity. We got to clothe ourselves in love. Look at somebody say, you need to put your clothes on. You need to put your clothes on. We got to walk in that love, walk and clothe ourselves in it. And here's the last thing. Number five is serve in the church and serve others. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, and I know I'm preaching to the choir today and teaching to the choir, but whenever you get saved, what happens to somebody is it automatically hits your server button. When you truly have an encounter with Jesus, boom, it hits your server button. I'll never forget when I first encountered the Lord, the first thing that I heard the pastor saying where we were going to church at was, he said, we need help. He basically said, we need help in two places. We need help in youth, and we need help in Royal Rangers. And so I began to be a youth sponsor. Hello. I'm just kidding, Katrina. I love you. I'm going to tell you what a pastor friend said to me one time. He said, but it happened with his wife. His wife's phone started ringing, and he said, honey, that better be God. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Katrina. I love you. Happens to me. I did turn mine off, though. But anyway. Oh, clothe yourself with love. Serve in the church and serve others. That's where I was at. So salvation pushes your server button. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you have selfishness in your life, and we all do, every one of us have selfishness, if you want to learn how to overcome selfishness, start serving. If you want to know what your spiritual gifts and talents are, start serving. Amen. Start serving. This last Wednesday night, and I prayed for Rob this morning. Rob was up here helping us. He was serving, and Jada was back in the kitchen with him, and she told me after church, she said, Mark, he is awesome in the kitchen. And so, Rob, you're hired in Jesus' name. but he served up here. It was the first time to serve, did an awesome job. We served all the kids back here. He had a blast, and he was, you know, sharing on social media afterwards. And guys, there's just something about when you serving keeps you plugged into the Lord and keeps you on fire for him when you're serving. And have I got weary in doing good and serving? Oh, yeah, there's been days. There's been some Sundays that I didn't want to show up, you know. I'm being serious. I'm like, I'd rather sleep in today, you know. But God's like, no, you need to serve. I called you to be a servant. And guys, when I come and I start serving, then the life of God comes back, the energy, you know, everything. And so start serving. Just start serving somewhere. We need help in lots of areas around here, nursery, children's church, youth, you know, youth at night. There's plenty of places to get plugged in around here. Some of you, I know you have to work on Sundays. So, you know, I understand that and on Wednesdays you can't serve, you know, like you'd want to. But there's other, you know, you can serve, you know, by your giving is a way to serve as well. Lots of different ways that, and I'm not just talking giving your time, but giving financially to help support a ministry here at church. Did you know teenagers can eat a lot? My gosh. We cooked enough spaghetti last Wednesday night. I thought we could feed all of Leedy, and it's gone in Jesus' name. But and I just appreciate everybody that helps serve and do things around here, because when you're serving in the church, and I know some of you even serve outside of the church, you know, serving in the community, serving different things, you know, it just brings life to you, and it helps decrease selfishness, because we're all given in our human nature to selfishness, and we just all need to be servants. And everybody said amen. And I'm going to show you this in the Word, because Jesus said this about himself. He said, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that was Jesus himself. So the first two, guys, deal with your relationship with God. Pray, get into the Word of God. The third thing is treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. The fourth thing is clothe yourself with love. And the fifth thing is serve in the church and serve others. I know that's very elementary, guys, but I promise you, if you'll start doing all five of those things, you will be walking in the favor of God. You'll be walking in it and living in it. And it's a great place to live in. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Why do we do? We do this every Sunday. We do this for those that are here, for those that are watching by Church's Aid, also those that are going to hear this on the radio and on our radio ministry. And I just want to say this, that this is the most simplest thing that you can do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to have the honor of leading you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with him, okay? Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. God is good and all the time. Where's Mark at? There he is. Mark's going to come up here and dismiss us, and I'm going to go back here to the back. Jade and I will be, and go walk in God's favor. And everybody said amen. Okay.
Can you hear me? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Wow. I want the favor of God in my life. And I had something neat, Pastor, last week. In my Bible, he was talking about knowing that day. Carrie and I, it says, 6th day of March in the year of 2004. Mark E. Ward, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I keep that in my Bible. I was baptized as a young one, too, and second time worked. But right, Pastor? Amen. No, I just had one quick word, and we're going to pray. This morning during worship, we expect God, and I just believe the Holy Spirit, that we just come off that series about listening to God's voice. When we show up, I never know, guys, a lot of times whether or not the anointing or what level or how much God's going to pour out. Didn't expect God, but it was a really powerful day in God this morning before and at worship, and let's give the Lord a hand clap for that, amen. And every time we come in, it blows me away. We had that song, I believe in saying this, that Taya just come up with that. We didn't even have the sheets, and we didn't really have it, and I said, Taya, we need to do that song. And I really felt that anointing, and we weren't ready for it or anything like that. But how many people have not been ready for something, but God is in control and can do it? Amen. And we just have the courage, and she does, has the courage to do that, girl. We've been doing this for a long time. I'm so thankful for her and Mallory and the anointing. But what God showed me this morning, and I want to compliment Mallory, and it's for all of us, the one word was, he's after our heart. not our talent and not our, because I believe I got a revelation myself. I know Mallory did today because I prayed with her there, and that he's not after your plan, you know, and we get to going, God, you've got to do it this way. We've got to have it this way. Who's been there? And if it's not this way, then what is it, God? But then you get in the presence of God and you get into that worship and you get to that point and then you get a different revelation, don't you? Amen. I did today. I got a revelation that God wants our heart, and when he has it, he can do anything in Jesus' name. That's a powerful deal. And I had to come to that today because we get these walls of pride and what it has to be in front of us, even when we know. And today he brought peace to me knowing that he's got a plan, Pastor, and he favors Mark Ward, and he loves us all. Amen. He loves you today, and it was a great day, and we expect another great day next week. We're going to pray, and I want to go to the priestly blessing. We pray this every week, so stand up with me, and we're going to dismiss. Great word, Pastor. Wow, great singing, Taya. Great job, Holy Spirit. That's what I love. Thank you, Lord, for being our blessing. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you for your anointing today and the surprise. God, I love when you surprise us with deep things, God. I want to be called into your deepness so that I can find my identity. God, you made me and you made every person here, and so you know us better than we know ourselves. And so, Father, today I pray that we continue to surrender to your plan as we go forth. Bless us, Father. You just bind this word into our heart that we learned today and seal it in Jesus' name. And God, we just give you praise and glory for what you're going to do this week, and that we're protected and that you're going to meet us here every week. God, just continue. I continue to pray for the families, because right now I'm prompted that there's relationships and families out there for all of us in our heart that need you, Father. And as they're lifting them up right now, it's friends, it's family. God, that they're going to stand in the gap right now in prayer, and you hear them through their hearts, Father, right now. So we're going to be those servants. We're going to stand in the gap for family and friends today, that they're going to begin to know you as their Lord and Savior. So call them in, Lord. And God, we thank you. Until time we meet again, keep us safe, protect us, that we can grow in you and serve you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read from Numbers again. Chapter 6, verse 24 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace." In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.